You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
They're 1-0, very important. It's like Cactus League. Got to know exactly what the standings are. Got to win that trophy. Got to be the best team in preseason. It's really all about health, and I guess there were a number of things that came out of last night, but the fact that Travis Dermott got injured is the most significant news. Jonah Siegel from The Athletic in here. I mean, the history angle would be Tavares scoring 2 goals and him and Marner looking very good and that line and Hyman and Brown and Kadri had some bite. But it really comes down to health, and I get the impression like Dermott has a spot on the team, but if he's out for a couple of weeks, I mean, something's going to give.
Shoulder injury?
That's what it sounds like.
So, I don't know. You never know.
Who knows?
He could be out a day.
Exactly. I mean, Babcock said day to day, but he always says day to day, so I'm not sure what that means. But he's a kid, you know, like, and Babcock's taking a shot at him already. Like, he's got to get going, and he's got to prove that he's going to make the team, and don't be complacent. Injuries can throw off a lot.
It's actually weird. Since I've started covering the team, this is one of the least interesting, like, in terms of battles for jobs. Like, we're talking about the 13th forward, kind of, the 12th forward, the 7 and 8 defenseman.
Mm-hmm. Which is a good
goalie.
Thing. It's a good thing.
Well, that's
thing.
What happens when you when a team becomes good.
Right.
And deep. But I don't know. I'm just so fascinated to see how things work in the regular season with how teams choose to kind of deal with this.
Well, it's a nightmare for opposing teams.
What would you do?
I don't know. I really don't. And that's generally not a good move when you're on talk radio to be like, I have no idea. But if you're an opposing team and Nylander comes into camp and he's healthy and rolling, and you have two lines, Matthews, Marlowe, Nylander, Tavares, Marner, Hyman, I'm not sure what it's going to do for you by shutting one of them down. Great, you shut down one of the lines. The other line, which has the ability to, both of them have the ability to be top 10 lines in the league. So that's what was so exciting about last night. I know it's a preseason game, but you finally got to witness it. Leaf fans have been dreaming about this for 2.5 months. For years. Forget 2.5 months. Your whole life, if you're a Leaf fan, you've been dreaming about the hometown superstar kid coming home and playing and performing and being in a position to succeed. And that's exactly what we witnessed last night with Tavares finally getting out there and playing and performing.
This actually reminds me, I wanted to ask you this. Do you think it almost, actually, I know the answer to this, but when you think about it, it worked out better for them that they didn't sign Stamkos.
Absolutely.
Which is
absolutely
crazy to think at the time. Because at the time, like, there was talk about Tavares in 2018, but you never know what's going to happen. There was all this talk that Tavares loved Long Island, he wasn't going to leave. But now you look back, and you would rather have Tavares in that spot than you would Stamkos.
They're both great players. I don't think you're not going to complain about having either guy.
No, but
in terms of where they are now and the age, this allowed Matthews to come into his own.
Yeah,
Marner, Nylander to find themselves. You know, some tough licks in the playoffs, and maybe that would have happened anyway with Stamkos. What's concerned me about the past 2 years is Stamkos still has injury problems. Mm-hmm. He played almost 82 last year, I believe, and put up big numbers. He's a stud. I mean, they're both great players, Stamkos and Tavares, but I think in retrospect they got lucky.
Yeah.
Because they went all in on him. They wanted to sign him.
Yeah.
It was Stamkos who called them up and said, thanks, but no thanks, I'm going back to Tampa. And then from that point, obviously, they decided, I guess, to set their sights on Tavares 2 years down the road.
And that's like all these little breaks that they've kind of got, and that's not a break, but like these little strokes of fortune that have kind of gone their way, like winning the lottery,
right?
Like Babcock deciding that he wants to come to Toronto, not Buffalo.
You know what Leaf fans would say about that?
What's that?
They would say it's about time.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's what last night I think represented to me, and I think I can speak on behalf of Leaf fans. It's about time. You know, it's been a long run where this team did the wrong thing,
mm-hmm.
stepped into the wrong situation, made the wrong decision, were the brunt of jokes league-wide. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, everything has come up Maple Leafs. And that's why, again, my radar, and I've been saying this the past couple of weeks, it's almost too good. Because not only are the Leafs starting to develop into a truly cup-contending team, their two arch rivals are punching bags in the league right now.
Well, it just reminds you of what they kind of were for a while.
Absolutely. You look at what's going on in Ottawa, that was the Leafs for the majority of my life. The majority of my life.
Yeah.
About a handful of seasons notwithstanding.
Yeah, you go back and read some of that stuff about Harold Ballard. And
exactly.
It's like, holy, that happened here.
Right. Which for a long time.
Right.
Long time. Mid-90s, yeah. Like post-Gilmore, leading up to Quinn, pretty ugly.
That's a bit obviously, of a Melnick figure, kind of.
Who?
Ballard?
Absolutely. I've used that comparison.
Have you? Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, I don't know all the details of behind-the-scenes stuff, but the way the fans feel about him,
yeah.
I think there's a absolutely a comparison that can be made. Because the fans hated Ballard, and I don't get the impression like there's a lot of love in Ottawa. I could be wrong, but anyway, they're back in action tonight in Ottawa. You can watch the game on TSN 4 tonight. You can hear it right here on TSN Radio. And the man with the call was in Lucan last night. Oh, we don't have him yet? Okay, so we're going to get him back here, I guess, in just a moment. But the O-Dog's back in studio. Quick hit over there with SportsCenter or what?
Just had to tee up the Maple Leaf game, little insider trading, little this, little that, but I'm back, I'm ready. What are we delving into?
Well, we on TV I think today? We have Joe Bowen on. We're on TV, yeah. Is Bowen there or what? All right, so Bowen is in Ottawa, calling the game tonight. He was in Lucan last night, and he joins us now. You want to bring him in?
Let's bring him in here. Joe, there was reports from the coaching staff that they were impressed with a certain number, 92, for the Maple Leafs. Yeah. Is that the first time you've ever heard such thing?
I'm trying to think who might also have worn it. But under the circumstances, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I would think so. Not once did I see him running up and down the stairs. Of course, there was only 5 stairs because there weren't an awful lot of seats.
I should have used those stairs.
Oh, dog, it would have been perfect for you. You know, and he did play pretty well. Ozaganov is a young man that they're hoping is going to kind of maybe duplicate Nikita Zaitsev's arrival here from playing in the KHL. But he's a bigger body, a right-handed shot, and he did. He played well in his first NHL experience as far as the exhibition is concerned. And even thank God it wasn't the other Russian kid that we're trying to remember how to pronounce his name, although he's not playing tonight either, so that's good.
Joe, speaking of a right-handed...
FBA.
Yeah, don't even worry. Send him back to junior quick.
Yeah, I got that, yeah.
Joe, speaking of the right-handed shots, there's some great centermen. There's obviously the big three. I don't know what Cracknell is going to turn out to be or if he makes the team, but do you think there's a need for that right-handed centerman on the fourth line that can win a draw on your own end from that right side?
I would think so, O-Dog. But you know what? I think he's really got to be able to be a premier defensive player.
Mm-hmm. A guy obviously has to play.
Yeah, and that means he's got to be a real accomplished penalty killer. I think that there's going to be some competition from Frederick Gauthier in that department, maybe, because the team is not a big team by any stretch of the imagination in the forward line. And Gauthier does at least bring some size. He's not the most aggressive guy, but he does bring some size down low to help that. So we'll watch that tonight because he'll be in the lineup here in Ottawa. But, they're going to have their fourth line, I don't think, is going to play nearly as much as it has in past. And why would it? Mm-hmm. And when it does, it's going to be in a defensive role and probably in a specialty role. And two of those guys are going to have to be penalty killers, I think.
Yeah, they're going to get a lot of that. Fourth line's going to get a lot of blowout win, blowout loss time.
Well, you know what? It's going to be an interesting change in the philosophy of the coaching staff and certainly of Mike Babcock, who certainly had a much more equal ice time disposition for everybody in past years. But I can't see that being the case now when you've got three really good lines and three really accomplished centermen to kind of spur the entire attack. And certainly the Kadri line is going to be leaned on maybe to be a little bit of a matchup line at some points. But I think that the whole philosophy is going to change. Let them try to figure out how they're going to match up to the Leafs and not worry about trying to be the team that's doing the matching.
With Joe Bowen, Leafs Sens tonight in Ottawa. You can hear the game right here on TSN 1050. Prior to having you on, Bonesy, we were talking about Tavares and the debut and Leaf fans have been dreaming about that since July 1st with him. But in reality, Leaf fans have been dreaming about it their whole lives. You know, a local superstar finally coming home and playing on a cup-contending team.
Well, now you're forgetting about that O'Neill kid.
Right, outside of that. O-Dog notwithstanding.
Notwithstanding.
Right. How cool was that for you?
Those were wonderful years.
Yes. How could we forget? Post-lockout, everyone was so tuned in. How cool was that for you last night, calling Tavares, and especially the two goals?
It is special. I've known his uncle probably longer than I've known John, the hockey player, and his uncle was a magnificent athlete and a wonderful lacrosse player. And then to have John Tavares, in the first goal round, and maybe in his first game in Leaf uniform, he'll score four goals, too, in the regular season and really have all of the jaws flapping. But having said that, I think it was a big moment for him as well to kind of get that over with and to at least be productive and score so that it's not kind of weighing on him and anything else. He's going to have a wonderful time playing with Marner if that's in fact going to be the matchup that Mike Babcock is going to utilize, and it appears that that will be the situation at least to start the season. And it was great to see that they had some chemistry and a lot of it. And the ice was bad, and it was a smaller rink. There wasn't an awful lot of room, but they were still pretty productive. So I think that it was a big moment for him. I think a big moment for Leaf fans, and just a precursor of what's going to come.
And the big boy steps on the ice tonight, Austin Matthews. And Jonas, you brought this conversation to the floor earlier this afternoon. The idea of the two of them kind of feeding off each other, and Babcock kind of needling one or the other based on which one's going hot. And it's a preseason game. I mean, ultimately, it's completely meaningless. But with Tavares doing what he did last night, I'm embracing myself for Matthews putting on a clinic tonight. Do you get that impression that he would be inspired by what's going on with Tavares and the love he's getting?
Why wouldn't he? I mean, this is when you have two dynamic players on the same roster, they push each other, and it's going to be a friendly competition that is going to benefit everyone around them and certainly the team as a whole. So I can't think of a better situation to have where you've got two of these guys who are going to be on different lines, who are going to be centering two different sets of wingers, and there'll be competition there as well. But when you look at the depth that the Leafs have up front in the offensive part of their game, three lines are going to be able to score and score a lot. And I think that the more they compete against each other, the better it's going to be for everyone concerned. And you know what? You're looking at two players that very well should be in the top 10 in scoring, maybe in the National Hockey League. And that is going to add some competition to it as well. So it's something to look forward to, that's for sure.
With Joe Bowen, he's going to have the call tonight on TSN Radio. It's Leaf Sens, game 2 of 8 in the preseason. There's a lot of players, too, man. I mean, you were in Lucan last night, Bones, and now it's a completely different lineup tonight.
And we won't see anything that resembles opening night until maybe the last game, the home-and-home situation with Detroit, and whether Mike Babcock wants to put the team that's going to start the season on home ice or put it on the ice in Detroit. But it's going to be like this right through from... They have so many exhibition games, and most teams are doing 6 or 5, and but the Leafs, of course, are much more different than any other franchise. And so 8 preseason games, and you're right, it's 2 different teams.
Well, and it sounds like Liljegren and Sandin are going to play tonight, right?
Yeah.
Like, so
yeah.
That's interesting. That's for Leaf fans of the future, right? The last 2 first-round picks, both defensemen and both Swedish. So we'll see what they've got tonight.
That will be a very interesting situation to watch them. I'm really looking forward to seeing how Liljegren has come along over the course of a year playing with the Marlies. And, what a great way to debut, to go on to the American Hockey League and win a Calder Cup and go through all of the rigmarole and the pressure of playing at that level. What a great learning experience for all of these young players that were a part of that. And we talked many times about earning the jersey. Well, they've taken a major step towards earning the jersey at the National Hockey League level by being as good as they were last year especially for Liljegren, and it'll be interesting to see how his Patriot countrymen will handle things tonight playing alongside him.
Enjoy it tonight. We always appreciate you doing this for us. We'll do it again down the road. Thanks, Bonesy.
Anytime, guys.
There's Joe Bowen. Joe Bowen, Jimmy Ralph, puck drop at 7:30, pregame beginning on TSN 1050 at 7 o'clock. You can watch the game on TSN 4 tonight. And we haven't really talked about the Ottawa Senators, but you know what was strange last night? Was watching that Mark Borowiecki play, and all I could think of was that video he did with Eugene Melnyk.
He's going to get torched all year long from every time. You know when the refs drop on the puck in front of the opposition bench? He is in for it.
Yeah.
That's not a normal thing, and I know people
are
like,
why did you do it?
No kidding, and I talked to you guys about that last week. You get asked to do it. You can just simply say, no, I'm not comfortable doing that. I'm not a TV person. I don't want to come across this way. And I know he's towing the line. He says, I'm a part of the team. It's not that big a deal. We're the team that everyone wants to pile on right now and make fun of, but what are you doing? And then he's out there playing like a hero again last night. People will just be abusing that. And he's a tough guy. He's a hard worker. He doesn't really care, but I don't know what he's thinking.
But if the owner calls, let's say he called him.
Jonas, I don't care.
Hey, Jeff, it's Eugene.
I know the owner pays the checks. Do you want to do a video with me? No, I don't. To talk about the team we are with in shambles?
Sure.
No. Yeah, Peter Karmanos, right. When Carolina was terrible, called me up and said, would you do this video with me? I would say, I'm not your guy for that. Sorry. Get somebody else.
Yeah, it's on him. He didn't have to do it. No. It's not in his contract.
He looked like an idiot. He looked like a goof.
Yeah, I'm wondering if he is regretting that decision. Like, I would guess he thought nothing of it. Yeah, whatever, I'll do it. Good guy, Mark Borowiecki.
Then the owner goes and says during the interview with him, we're basically flipping over 10 players this year, 15 the next year.
Do the math. You're probably
on
your way
out. So what, did you want me to sit down to interview you while you tell me that? Thanks, Eugene.
Yeah, there's no way he's not getting beaked every time he's on the ice.
Yes.
Like, and we all know what the chirps are going to be.
Yes, I know exactly what it's going to be.
Very graphic.
Yes.
And we all know exactly what will be said.
Yeah.
And he's got to brace himself for it because he put himself in that position. They asked him, but he could have declined that interview. I mean, it was ridiculous. A player. And it's ridiculous on Ottawa to put him in that situation.
No kidding.
That's another thing that has become evident.
No.
Whatever the hits kind of operation they're running over there.
It gets weirder and goofier and worse by the day.
It really does.
How do you guys think that whole situation, I don't want to say ends, but how do you think like this resolves itself? Or do you just think it keeps getting crazier and worse?
I was just going to say, Jonas, and I had to stop myself. It stops when they get the first overall pick and they bring in Jack Hughes because they got a game changer and something to build around.
They're not
getting that.
Yeah, right.
That goes to Colorado. So I don't know how it changes. It's a mess, and everything starts at the top. When the owner's a dope like the one they have, it's awful all the way down.
Do you think it's bad for the league to have this?
I think Eugene Melnyk's bad for the league. I think he's the worst owner in pro sports.
They can't do anything, right?
No. Unless he stops paying the players, there's nothing he can do. I mean, he's the owner, and
I don't know. It's making a team look like a joke.
He's not the first owner to do that. I mean, there's a lot of owners in the NHL that also have problems, too. I mean,
that's true.
You know, let's be honest. Every league has their owners where you know the commissioner probably isn't that comfortable, but there's nothing you can do. Eugene Melnyk is Gary Bettman's boss. Like, don't forget that.
One of his 31.
Yeah, and it's not going to be a coup. You know, they're not going to roll in, you know, at like 2 in the morning and ship Eugene Melnyk out. It's not going to happen. But
lock the doors of the Scotiabank place?
Like Willie Mays Hayes in Major League, he falls asleep and they just move his bed out into the middle of the parking lot. I'd be hysterical if Melnyk woke up one day in his bed. He's been shipped off to like Siberia somewhere. Anyway, Leafs Sense tonight. We know who's playing halftime at this upcoming Super Bowl. We'll tell you about that. Jimmy Butler apparently wants out of Minnesota. The timing, very strange. Should the Raptors kick tires?
No, because he's not on the list. So, once again, not on the list.
Well, the list is ridiculous anyway.
It's a dumb list.
It's an awful list. It's a red flag list. We'll tell you about that list next. The 2018 Scotiabank Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer in support of Princess Margaret is quickly approaching September 29th up at Woodbine. And if you know someone that's participating in the tournament, show your support today. Visit teamuptoconquercancer.ca and look for the green button that says donate. Get to our best bets brought to you by Proline later in the hour. Leafs back in action. Jays down in Baltimore. Jays are on fire. Bunch of road wins in a row. Feeling it right now.
Do you still watch the Jays?
Last night I didn't watch them because the Leafs were playing, and they're not playing for anything. But neither are the Maple Leafs, so it's not like you're watching the preseason that closely.
Usually like in like a baseball game will fill my night, and I like watching, but I can't do it. I'll steer away.
There's better baseball games on.
Yeah, Sox Yankees. Like, that's what I would much prefer to watch.
Anything but that. Baltimore-Toronto is a matchup that is just insufferable right now.
It is quite awful. And there were more people there last night than there were the night before, but not by much.
Well, that's really saying a lot.
Yeah. We had some fun with this earlier. Marley Rivera, who's friend of the show with Scotty Mack, ESPN analyst and reporter, they were talking about who could be the next manager here in Toronto, and she said, brace for it. You're going to hear a name. She didn't say it's going to happen. She did not say this is going to happen. But she said, you will hear a name because of their relationship. John Farrell's name is going to come up.
No way.
And if it does...
If Mark Shapiro stays here as the president of the Toronto Blue Jays and he even entertains that idea...
Oh, fired immediately. That's not me being a crazy hot take radio goof. Yeah. That's me being 100% objective and honest. If you even think
like
of employing John
half
Farrell,
of a brain, he would call John and say, "Look, I know you're looking for work, but it ain't going to be here."
And don't float out our name.
Yeah,
like I don't even
use
hear
your
it.
Agent to float out
exactly.
us as a possible match because it is not happening.
I don't need this type of garbage on my plate.
No,
I'm in a tough enough spot to begin with. So to be fair to Shapiro, who has been very tone deaf with the marketplace to begin with, he is not this out of touch. He would never, I hope he would never entertain the idea of working in any capacity with John Farrell. That would be so embarrassing, and people would revolt.
I agree with you, but why are we okay if the Raptors want to bring back Vince Carter?
I'm not.
You're not? You're
I've
in that,
never been
you're
okay
in that group?
With it. I have no interest. Why do I need a 41-year-old Vince back right now anyway?
No, just, okay, so would you be okay if they retire his jersey?
Not before DeMar. I've said that many times. I've been saying that for years. DeMar goes up first. If you're going to retire a number, now it may have changed because he just got traded.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you got to wait to see what happens with Kawhi. If Kawhi signs long-term and develops into the greatest Raptor of all time, then maybe number two goes up there first. But I don't feel any obligation to show any love to Vince Carter. I never have. I never will. So, you know, I mean, we've been talking about this for over a decade.
But can you see a situation down the line where John Farrell comes back?
Never. For starters, Vince was the best player in team history.
Yeah.
John Farrell did nothing as a manager. It's not like he was some great manager. This wasn't Cito or something
Didn't
like that.
Didn't he have like a two seasons of below average?
Yes.
And then he just said, I want my dream job?
Right. It opened up and he
won the World Series.
Exactly. So good for him. He went on in Boston World Series. But
yeah, but screw you at the same time.
You're never coming back here.
No.
Never in a million years.
No way.
That would be just one of the most tone-deaf moves in the history of pro sports. Even if he's a consultant, that's a fireable offense. A consultant, I think you have to fire everybody.
I don't even know if you could sell it where it was a Mike Babcock situation where you're like, this is the best guy available. And we have to pull it. You can never have that angle. You can't.
No.
You're not bringing him here.
Ever. So, Marley Rivera, I know they were just kind of goofing around a little bit. And she may be right. The name may pop up. It may be Farrell, his agent, leaking it to ESPN or MLB Network. And, hey, watch out. Maybe this guy's a bench coach or something. No. Jimmy Butler, he was supposed to have a sit-down in Minnesota with, like, Thibodeau and the GM and the owner, and then like last second they had to fly to LA to meet him, which immediately when that report came out I'm like, they're in trouble. If you're flying to his place to talk about an extension and how he feels about the organization, you're in trouble. And we got news today, Jimmy Butler is now asked for a trade. And if you're going to trade him, the only team he's willing to sign an extension with is Brooklyn, the Clippers and the Knicks.
Why the Clippers?
I guess they have a ton of cap space and it's L.A. You know, that's the only... And maybe he's got... Maybe he knows something we don't know. Maybe he knows Kawhi's going to the Clippers. Maybe he knows Kyrie Irving, who can be a free agent after this year, is going to the Clippers. And those two have been linked. They're boys. Jimmy Butler and Kyrie Irving, I've heard that from a couple of people. They might be colluding in the background and working on a package deal somewhere. But that's a red flag for me. This guy hasn't won anything. And he wants to go to those three garbage dump organizations.
He can sure torch the Raptors, though.
Loves torching them.
He can do that.
But that's the question. Would you go all in for Jimmy Butler right now if you were Masai? If it cost you...
If I was Masai?
Yes. If you were the Raptors and you could put a package together for Jimmy Butler and you know it's a one-off, just like Kawhi...
I understand what you're saying, but it's not even an option. They're not one of the teams, so it's not even an option.
He doesn't have a no-trade. He's got another year left on his deal. He's got one year left.
You know how these guys operate. When they say that they're only going to these three teams, they're not pissing around.
Kawhi does the same thing. It's the exact same thing. Kawhi, by all accounts, only wanted to go to L.A. Guess where he is? Toronto. Sorry, Kawhi. You're playing for the Raptors.
What would a package look like to get him?
It would be... First of all, you have to ship money out. They don't have any cap space. Serge Ibaka would have to go, or Kyle would have to go, and then you'd have to throw in... I don't know, because Minnesota's in a position. They just made the playoffs for the first time in like a decade. They've got Karl Anthony Towns, who they're trying to keep happy. You got Wiggins, who you just paid. If you send Lowry... I think they would take that. It would be Lowry plus, but how much when you're dealing with Butler, who's only a year? Think about that. DeMar and Kyle out, Jimmy Butler and Kawhi Leonard in.
I would take a chance for sure. Butler's like a top 15 player, top 12.
I would do it. I would do it because I would do it
just to roll the dice and see what happens.
You're all in right now anyway. You're all in on Kawhi and trying to court him. And if Kawhi leaves, I think they're going to try to ship out Ibaka anyway. They would ship Ibaka out today if someone was going to take it.
Well, he's got one more year, I think?
Two more years.
It was a three-year deal.
Yeah, this year and...
Last year.
He signed a three-year deal before last year.
Yeah, last year, this year, and one more.
Yeah, but they haven't started playing this year. He's got two more seasons.
Yes, okay.
Abbott... And same thing with Lowry. Lowry's got two more years.
Right.
So I figure if you're in for a penny, you might as well be in for a pound. Now, it's all hypothetical. They're not going to do it anyway. They're not going to... I can't picture Masai, but he's already proven this year he wants to change things up.
You have to call, don't you?
I would call. You're doing yourself a disservice if you don't call.
They all call. It's just whatever you hear is what you hear.
If it's a package of Lowry...
If I was Minnesota, I would listen to that. Like, you pair Lowry with Towns and Wiggins, and they've got some other, like, interesting pieces.
Now, with the Raps, who's, you know, then Van Fleet is your starting point guard.
Yeah, that's fine. Wright's your backup.
And DeLon Wright's your backup.
That's not bad. That would be crazy.
Yeah. I would look into it.
You'd have two superstars who don't really... want to be here.
Both wing superstars who, yeah, are coming off kind of tumultuous seasons. Butler had injury problems last year. Kawhi only played 9 games. He's still not here. By all accounts, he's still in L.A. Everyone else has been up in Toronto. They're all gearing up for media day on Monday. Kawhi's still in L.A. But I think the timing is strange. Like, why did it take all summer, and all of a sudden in mid-September, right before you show up for camp, you're demanding a trade?
Maybe this is how you get leverage?
If you're Butler?
Yeah. You kind of spring it on them last minute, and then force them to
do something. What if the market isn't there for you?
Why wouldn't the market be there for Jimmy Butler?
Because, you know, money's been spent, right? Like, and Minnesota's sitting there saying, we're not just going to give you away because you want to be traded. Minnesota's got to make it work. You know, they have to work out a deal. This team, they're supposed to be moving up. They just acquired him last year. He's only been there for a year.
Well, that's the best part of what's gone on there. They just keep acquiring all those old Bulls.
Yeah.
They have, like, the Chicago
coach.
Bulls. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
You see Maroon 5 is going to perform at halftime at the
Super
Bowl.
I got no problem with that.
That's who they picked?
Maroon 5.
Are they still together?
I guess.
I thought just the guy by himself.
Adam Levine? Yeah. Like, he's built himself into a big superstar because he's on The Voice and, you know, I just Maroon 5, like they're okay, but they don't seem big enough for the Super Bowl. Timberlake did it last year. How do you go from Timberlake to Maroon 5?
I support a Maroon 5. I think they can pump out some tunes.
I don't think they have enough hits.
We're going to be turning back the clock a little bit. Sugar.
Can you name three of their songs?
I just did.
That's
Sugar.
One.
Moves Like Jagger is a big
that's
one.
That's two.
And then their original hit was a really big hit, and I can't remember what it's called.
There's a song, Sunday Morning. I know that for some reason.
Isn't that No Doubt?
No, that's a different song. So that's not good if we can't name three songs.
But Black Eyed Peas. What about them? What the hell are you talking about?
You can't keep
These
bringing
guys
back.
Are asleep.
Like the Grappler just chimes in with Black Eyed Peas. I don't even. They have a song called Sunday Morning. Is that what you're saying? So there you go. He was correcting you.
I don't think he's right.
Anyway, Maroon 5 halftime.
I fully support it. I like Adam Levine. I like his mojo.
How about Ice Cube?
No guy. That is a hard no guy. An Ice Cube.
How did you not know that? Like the sound of,
because it sounded like 70s porn. That's why it did not sound like a rap song.
Well, the lyrics weren't included, but
It was stupid.
It Was a Good Day by Ice Cube is one of the most famous hip hop songs of all time.
Ever, yeah,
that's his biggest hit.
Come back in with it after the next break, and I'll see if I can even identify with it.
Okay, we'll replay that. We'll recapture it. Joe sending us some notes about Maroon 5. I guess they got a new hit out with Cardi B right now, so maybe Cardi B will show up. Throw a shoe at somebody.
She's something.
Yeah. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Leaf sends tonight. We'll tee that up. The Tap Man will be in here with Greg Gilbert for the pregame at 7.
He might throw in a little yes guy, no guy.
You think so? Does he have anything prepared? He's doing his show, I think, right now.
No, that's our segment, but he stole it, and he might as well do it.
Maybe we'll do our own yes guy, no guy.
Yes.
Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Good tune.
Never heard of it.
Ice Cube. It's a great song.
Never heard that song in my life.
Jonas, you know what's up, man. You know Ice Cube.
And oh, yeah.
This is a great song. This would have come out early
90s. Early 90s, yeah.
This is an L.A. hip-hop legendary track. Leaf Sense tonight in Ottawa. Joe Bowen, Jimmy Ralph with the call. Jays, Orioles, and Baltimore. Week 3 of the NFL tomorrow night. It always flies by. Like, we're already into week 3.
Oh, yeah.
And it's Jets, Browns tomorrow night.
Ooh.
What a game that's going to be. I think Cleveland's at home, right? I got Cleveland winning tomorrow night.
Can't the Thursday night schedule makers come up with something different than that?
Well, they're probably third in the pecking order, right? I guess it would go Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night. Yeah, you're right.
Well, it's going to change, though, because Fox bought the Thursday night rights, and their broadcast kicks in week 4, I believe it is. So starting next week, you're going to see some real games. Like, I don't think it's a coincidence. Get the Jets and the Browns out of the way before Fox, you know, their money starts to kick in.
Are they taking over from NFL Network?
Yeah, CBS has done it the past couple of years. It was Romo and in the NFL Network, they would simulcast. Like, I'll bet you next Thursday there's a game. It is. Next Thursday's Minnesota Rams. That's a great game. So that'll be Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. Week 5, I'll bet you's a doozy. Colts, Patriots, not bad. Start getting something going here. Andrew Luck.
Brady.
Anyway, we're not going to go through the whole sked, but week 4 is when it really kicks up. We were just talking about Maroon 5 playing the halftime at the Super Bowl. It's early, only 2 weeks, but has your prediction on who's going to be in the Super Bowl changed at all based on what you've seen through 2 weeks?
I still think when Wentz gets back healthy, the Philadelphia Eagles are going to be... And that, the Rams, I mean, I don't know.
The Rams look real good.
Yeah.
Real good. Like, the Rams...
They look unbeatable.
They do, and that division is bad. Like, Arizona's awful. Seattle's 0-2. They don't look very good. The Niners aren't ready yet. Like, they... It kind of feels like the NFC West is turning into what we've seen out of the AFC East for the past decade. Mm-hmm. Like, the Rams will win 13 games, and the next closest team will have, like, 6 wins.
Yeah.
You know, someone's going to play the role.
On some people.
Someone will play the role of the Bills, the Jets, and the Dolphins. You know, that's what more than likely is going to happen. So I kind of feel good about the Rams. Feel good about Carson Wentz, too. He's coming back. They took their time with him.
I love that move. Not ready. Loss. Good to go. I'm back, baby. He tweets it out. Fired up.
But that was the right move anyway. If there was any debate over him, you can't mess around with that knee, with your poster boy.
Are you getting nervous about Rodgers?
No. There's no structural damage. It sounds like it's just a bruise. He looked pretty good last week. Mm-hmm. And
they need a layup to just give him a week off.
Well, they're in Washington this week. And then they're at home against the Bills in week 4. That is Deshaun Kizer time.
Get through this week and then
you're home free. Feeling it. Anyway, Leafs sense tonight. Last night was a really cool night for Leaf fans and John Tavares making his debut. It's going to be that much sweeter come opening night, which is 2 weeks tonight. Mm-hmm. Leafs have at home. Everyone you presume will be healthy. We had this conversation yesterday that Tavares will get the loudest ovation opening night. Is that your expectation?
That's a great question. Matthews, I think.
I kind of leaning Matthews, too, a little bit.
No! JT. He's the golden boy coming home to his hometown. Although Matthews, like, I never considered Toronto like a Jersey town.
Yeah,
I have, and I know there was a lot of Wendell Clarks and Doug, but they're
everywhere.
Matthews jerseys are everywhere. Yeah. I've never seen anything like that because Toronto, I've never considered a Jersey town.
No,
it's always in the States, but now everyone in that building has a Matthews jersey.
Yeah, it's the go-to.
It's the go-to. A 34, and it's just everywhere. Yeah. I was not shocked, but I was like, wow.
Don't you even have one?
Yeah, I do.
Right?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I'm not a jersey guy. I don't think I would buy a Matthews if I were to get one. I'd probably go off the page a little bit.
Get a Borgman?
I don't know about Borgman. I do like a Connor Brown or so. A friend of the show. You know, he's been in here before.
Get an Aki Berg and put mustard and ketchup all over it.
Get an old school Aki.
Roll around in the mud.
Yeah, something like that. But you're right, man. Matthews, and that's been the case ever since he showed up. Like,
it's like the symbol of hope going forward.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Make no mistake.
I want to be attached with this.
We've talked a lot about, you know, contract negotiations. That's the kind of information that gets pushed across the table. Shanahan, Dubas, Babcock, if you're the agent, you go, take a look at those numbers. That's how many jerseys have been sold. Actually, you know what? This isn't going to you, Shanahan, or you, Dubas, or you, Babcock. Bring Tannenbaum in here and the big shots at Bell and Rogers, because they're the ones that are collecting the money on jersey sales. Bring them in here, and we just want to put that across the table. Because that's what McDavid did in Edmonton. Now, he deserves it based on what he does on the ice.
Sure he does.
But by all accounts, they rolled in and said, see this new rink you guys have? Do you know why you have this new rink? Do you know why it's being sold out? Do you know why restaurant owners are making money? It's not because Milan Lucic signed here. It's because I'm in town. And we talk about Matthews jerseys. You go to Edmonton, man. Do you know how many 97 jerseys are out there? It's ludicrous.
What was number one last year?
Weren't Nico Hischier.
In the league?
Oh, what are you talking about?
Jersey sales.
Oh, jersey sales? I don't know.
It was McDavid or
Matthews was number one for like a month. You know, it fluctuates a little bit.
It would have been Matthews, McDavid, Crosby, wouldn't it have been?
Crosby, Ovi
Kane,
would get some
Ovi.
Love. Kane. Yeah.
I don't, can you find that info?
Yeah,
anywhere?
You can find that info.
Feels
for sure.
Like we're not talking much about Crosby right now.
He's just Sid the Kid. He's great every year. He's going to give his team a chance to win the cup. It's just like old hat. You're so used to it. You take it for granted.
Yeah. Did you see that Kessel scrum last week?
Oh, yeah, we did.
I'm sure
you think we would miss that.
Yes.
Well, Gary Roberts was on the station, I think today or yesterday, pumping the tires of Phil, saying best summer he's ever had, best shape he's ever been in, determined, ready to go. He looks like he's lost weight. He shaved his hair and shaved his beard. And Phil looks good, man. Don't goof on Phil.
No, I just had, it was weird.
And good on him, because hopefully he realized that if he kept going the way he was going, I don't care how many points he got last year, I don't care how talented, the wheels fall off. And when they do, it's ugly.
Yeah, you've got to be proactive.
You've got to be proactive.
You've got to be in shape.
You get to 30, got to be proactive.
92 points. Like Pittsburgh, you're right about under the radar. Because everyone's talking about the Leafs and Tampa, and Washington finally wins a cup. So people are like, well, they've proven they can do it, so they can do it again.
You think
Pittsburgh rolling right under the radar. Dangerous.
Do you think our boy Noodles tonight is going to jack the tires of the Maple Leafs and pump them up, or just downplay it and all sends all the time?
No, he'll be...
he'll be all sends all the time.
I don't think so. It'll be a
balanced... it's kind of like a dual broadcast.
Yeah, right? It is. It'll be a balanced coverage. That's what I expect. What's that CNN logo?
Oh, like, that's what? Fox News.
Is it Fox News?
Yeah.
What do they say?
Which is the comedy. I think it's like...
balanced coverage or something.
Or something.
Yeah, something like that. That's what I expect. Noodles will go Sean Hannity tonight. Fair, balanced, right down the middle.
What do you talk about with Ottawa?
You don't think he'll start giving it to Gord Miller, saying, oh yeah, Gord, order the rings.
No, he's not. He knows better than to make those kind of jokes. But it's easy, right? You pump the tires of Matthews. Freddie Anderson's playing tonight.
That Tkachuk kid.
Tkachuk. I want to see Brady Tkachuk play tonight, you know? And the Leafs, they got Liljegren and Sandin playing tonight. They're two past first-round picks, both defensemen, both project to be NHLers. You have to hit on those. I mean, becomes more and more important to get those first-round picks nailed down, right? And the defense, everyone keeps buzzing about it. Who's going to make the team? Who's not? We'll see. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Fading Baltimore, as I always do. I'm on the Jays again tonight. Sweeping in Baltimore. Cleveland home plus against Chicago. And I will take Arizona at home against the Cubbies. Throw down 20. You can score 65. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game.
And we are going to get back into everything. Break down Austin Matthews' performance. All of it, Jonas, tomorrow at
4.
Jonas Siegel from The Athletic. Shout out. Thanks for coming in.
See you then.
We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.